getting an echo.
Okay. Okay. I want to thank everybody for joining. I know I haven't been at the Parsha Shir for a little bit. A lot going on. Eretz Yisrael this past Thursday night. Thursday night before that was the Shabbaton. A lot going on, but there's really a tremendous amount of beautiful pieces of Torah to share with you this week. Parshas Vayetze, let's begin. So Rav Lopiansky begins in the beginning of the Sedra talking about Vahaya Zaracha Ka'afar Ha'aretz. And the truth is, I was thinking about it. I always like to do the parsha in order. It just gives me a little seder. But the truth is, this part should really be the last. It should be the last part of the day, not the first part of the day. But we'll begin with it anyway, because it's in that order. So he quotes from the Rambam in the Igeres Teman. The Rambam, in the letter that he wrote, the famous Rambam Igeres Teman, so he writes, and this is just a chizuk. I think that sometimes as the years of Golus go on, we could chas v'shalom, Rachman al-Tzlan, lose hope. We could lose hope, which direction is the world going, and it looks like everything is going in a bad direction. This is, things are getting worse. Anti-Semitism, we're not used to these things so much. It says the Rambam in Igeres Teman, Tiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Inol v'shalom, she'afam yishtabdu almost bizarro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu that even though it's true that the non-Jews are going to rule over his seed, v'yanu osam v'yigbru aleihem, they will going to afflict them and they're going to lord over us, they're going to be victorious. Heim yisharu v'yamdu. Nevertheless, even though the non-Jews are going to be able to attack us in Golus and put us into servitude, in the end, we're going to still remain standing. V'amishtabdim bahem. Yachlu v'yavedu, and dafka the people who took us into captivity and who ruled over us and who beat up on us, they're going to be the ones who are going to be lost. Kemosh Emar, and he quotes our pasuk. Why? Klal Yisrael is compared to dust. Says the Rambam in Igeres Teman. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to dust? Kloma. Avo b'yishu nesunim lemirmas ulemirpas ke'ofer azeh shakol dorsin oso. Dust is something that everybody tramples on. You're always trampling on the dirt. You Klal Yisrael is like the dirt because everybody's trampling on us. That's why we're like the dirt. So, but in the end, we're still going to remain. And I think he means like this. Let's see what he says. I'm not sure if this is referring to burial, where the dirt gets thrown on top of the people. Like, the dirt used to be what gets trampled, but at the end of the day, the dirt is going to be on top of. Yala ala dorisimoso. The dirt is going to end up covering over those people who attacked us. They're going to cover them over. Va'adorisimoso lo yamdu. V'nei bi'er yishayo ala v'sholom. V'hudiyonu mishmosh al kadosh baruch hu. Sheha'um azos. Kol yimei yosef begalos. This nation, the Jewish nation, all the days that we're in galos, kol mi sheyalev machshavto l'skaber aleha. Anyone who thinks they're going to attack the Jewish people and overcome them, maybe in the short term, they will be matzliach. But in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send a Savior who's going to remove from Klal Yisrael its illness and its pain. Chalya v'keiva. Shekein Omer, Yishayahu Hanavi teaches us, Chazos kasha hagedli habogeid bogeid v'ashodeid shodeid alai ilam tsuri madai kol anchasa heishav kol anchasa heishavti. The pasuk basically referring to the fact that in the end of time, so all of our pain, all of our suffering, all of our sorrow is going to be turned over. And it's this pasuk v'haya zarecha ka'afar ha'aretz, he sees dirt as a chizik to Klal Yisrael, dirt, we're compared to dirt. It's not like exactly something so exciting, but the dirt, first of all, it lasts, right? The dirt never goes away, it lasts. But even though we get trampled like the dirt, in the end of the day, we're going to end up being on top of those who trample us. Whether it be burying them, I think that's what he's referring to, burying them, or those who trampled us. But just a sense of chizik that even as the gullus whereas on, we should still have hope and realize that there's going to be that day of redemption. Oh, the next piece, very interesting thing to speak about a little bit. It's a Sfarno. So Yaakov has this dream with the angels going up and down. And there was a lot of discussion about the angels going up and down. I decided to skip all that. We can get bogged down on that. But he has this amazing dream about the angels going up and going down. And Yaakov wakes up. Vayikas Yaakov Mishnah Sova Yomer. Achen Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh. V'anochi lo yadati. So he raises the nisham. I'm sure we've read this pasuk. We've thought about this pasuk many times. But there's something really glaring about this pasuk. Achen Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh. What, God is in this place? God is everywhere. What do you mean, Achen Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh? What does it mean that there's God is everywhere? What do you mean, there's Yesh Hashem? So listen to the Sfarnos take. Achen Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh. Ein safek. Shezeh ha-makom, this is of course referring to the Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim. Zeh ha-makom muchan l'nevua. Me'achah shara'isi bo mara kazos. Yaakov says, I saw such a holy, spiritual vision in my sleep. It must be that this place is conducive to spiritual growth and spiritual connection to Hashem. Built the shiskavin l'nevua. I didn't even intend to have a nevua, and I had a nevua without even intending to have a nevua. Ki amnam yishtanu tchunos mishamshei ha'etzem ha'sichli ha'misnabei kifi yishtanos ha'aretz v'ha'avir. That's a mouthful, that pasuk. Let's try to take it slowly. Yishtanu tchunos mishamshei ha'etzem ha'sichli. Your ability to use your seichel, your neshama, your thoughts, your feelings, it will depend, ha'misnabei, that you use for nevuah, based on changes in the aretz, in the land and in the air. So certain countries, certain land, and certain airspace is more conducive to spiritual development and growth than other places. And he quotes the famous maimer of Chazal and Bava Basra, Ka'amram, Avira shel Eretz Yisrael machkim. Like the rabbis teach us, that the air of the land of Israel causes you to be wise. Avir Sheretz HaMachim. Now, what exactly does that mean? Avir Sheretz HaMachim. There's also a medrash in Bereishis. I've quoted over the years at certain points, right? The medrash, there's one medrash in Bereishis that says, Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. There is a statement in medrash like that. What does that mean? So I remember once heard somebody speaking about this. He said, what do you mean? Rav Soloveitchik didn't know how to learn because he never lived in Israel. Rav Soloveitchik didn't know how to learn. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs didn't know how to learn. These people never went to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know how to learn. What do you mean? Had they been in Eretz Yisrael, they would have been bigger Talmidei Chachamim. What does this mean exactly? So I once heard one explanation that it's not referring to your ability to comprehend the learning, to decipher it in terms of your mental, intellectual capability. But if Hashem's presence is stronger, is felt stronger in a certain place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashre His Shechina, if Hashem imbued that land with an elevated sense of Kedusha, so in terms of the ability of Torah to purify me, Torah to elevate me, not I could say a better Svara, but in terms of my the Ruchnius Shabo, of the connection to the Ribbono Shel Shabbo that comes through Limud HaTorah, that comes through performance of mitzvahs, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Nevuah. He said, what's Nevuah? Nevuah is connecting to Hashem on an unbelievably high level and hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messages in your life and proclaiming them. He had this Mara Nevuah. He had this incredible connection. So apparently, that's what the Svarno understands. Achen Yesh Hashem B'Mokom Hazeh means that different places on earth are imbued with different abilities and for a person to connect to Hashem. And we know that, let's say, a shul. So we're learning here now in a base medrash. So it could be that it may not be as easy for the Torah to inspire us if we were sitting in somebody's living room. Maybe one can make that argument. A shul is a makom kedusha. It's a makom that a kadosh baruch hu is a base medrash. This is both a base medrash and a shul. It's like a double whammy. You get the people learn here. And this place is imbued. The Gemara says, asidim that are going to end up in the future, they're going to all end up in Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means. But it's a holy place. When you study in a holy place, when you do mitzvahs in a holy place, it's a different kind of experience, and that's what the Sfarno leaves us with. Oh, let's continue. Now this was very fortuitous because this past Motzei Shabbos, I listened to our Mashkiach of our yeshiva, Rabbi Cohen, and I this past Shabbos here in Eretz Yisrael. We got together with around over 100 boys in somebody's apartment. We had a Malava Malka. So he talked a little bit, and so I think hopefully we'll walk away. He talked a little bit about Malava Malka, and I think he quoted this pasuk. So here's a pasuk, and again, this pasuk we've been reading for so many years. I love when you come across a question where it's like so glaring. You've been reading this pasuk your whole life, and you never asked the most obvious questions on the pasuk. Most obvious question. So Yaakov called the place that he dreamed the dream, he called it Beis El. Ve'olam luz shem ha'ir l'rishona. But you should know that the name of the city was Luz before that. Why is that relevant? Why do I care that the name of the city was Luz beforehand? Why is that significant? He called it Beis Kel, God's house. Okay, that I get. He had this vision of Hashem. It was going to be the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. So I get it. Call it Beis Kel. But Ulam would just say, you know, Luz, Shem Ha'ir L'Rishona. The name was Luz before. Shkoich. Why do I need that? Why do I need that? So listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya. Has a beautiful take on this, and he connects it to the famous Luz bone. Do we know what the Luz bone is? We'll talk about the Luz bone in a minute. Oh, listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya. Listen to what he has to say. V'ulam Luz Shem Ha'ir L'Rishona. Hamakom Shekar Beis Kel V'hu Yerushalayim. Asks Rabbeinu Bechaya, why did the Torah have to tell me, oh, by the way, its old name was Luz? What do we gain? What do we benefit from knowing that the name, there's not one extra word in the Torah. What do we get? What do we benefit? What lesson are we learning from the fact that it used to be called Luz? Rabbeinu Bechaya has a beautiful pshat here. Perhaps, that we could say, Kiva Kasev Lirmoz Lanu B'Shem Hazeh. The Torah is coming to hint us with this name of calling it Luz. This name of calling it Luz. The Torah is coming to hint us B'Shem Hazeh. Ki Mizeh Hischil Ha'olam L'Hishtachlel U'Lishadeish. This that Chazal say, that it's from Luz, from Beis El. This is the place that the world was created from. Why is that significant? This is the place that the world was created from. Vihine, hu reishis habriya v'achidush. This is the beginning of creation, happened from Beis HaMikdash, from Yerushalayim. Reishis habriya v'achidush. V'alkein, gila lanu, kishem ha'ir l'rishon aluz. And that's why the Torah is telling us, in order that we should know, that it's from this place that the whole world was created. That's why the Torah is telling us that its name was Luz. What does Luz have to do with creation? What does Luz have to do with the beginning of creation? Milashon Luz HaShedra. From the language of the Luz bone, which is part of the vertebrates, the top part of the spine, like right behind your neck, right above the spine and by the neck under the head. That's the Luz bone of the Shedra. That we have a tradition in Chazal that Luz bone, Shemimenu asid lehisnai ulischadesh ulihibari letchias amesim. That's where we're going to be recreated from tchias amesim, even when your body decomposes to some extent. So the luz bone is still there, so that when there's going to be tchias amesim, that's where we're going to be created from the luz bone. Ki kishem shepele hachidush hazeh hayamisham. This wondrous recreation somehow comes out of the Luz bone. I'm sorry. Kishem shepela hachidush hazeh hayimisham. Just like this wondrous vision that Yaakov Avinu saw. And the whole creation of the world the first time. The whole creation of the world the first time came from this location. Kach pela shel tchias hamesim yaskel misham. Just like the first creation happened from here, Luz Beis El, so too tchias hamesim will happen from this Luz bone. From the middle of the world, middle of the universe, which is Yerushalayim. V'zeo she'amar, El Elokim Hashem Davar V'yikra Aretz Mitzion Michlal Yofi Yikra L'Shamayim Me'al V'gomer. Now I just quoted here the Mishnah Berurah for those who think that this is a little bit too esoteric and mysterious for you. This is not a Kabbalistic idea. Oh, maybe it is a Kabbalistic idea, but the Mishnah Berurah, who was
not a Kabbalist. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this, V'amru HaKadmonim, maybe that, those are the Kabbalists, but V'amru HaKadmonim, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier scholars, De'ever Echad Yesh Ba'adam V'naskoi Shmo, some versions have it as Naskoi, but it's the same thing as the Luzbone. Some call it Naskoi, some call it the Luzbone. Ever Echad Yesh Ba'adam V'naskoi Shmo, V'zeh Ever Nishra Kayim B'kever, this Ever remains extant in the grave, Ad Eis HaTchia, until Tchias HaMesim. V'afilu Achar She'nirkavu Bo Kol HaTzamos, even after all the other bones have already rotted and decomposed, somehow this Luzbone remains. V'zeh Ever Eino Nenem Mishom Achila, and this Ever does not get sustained from any eating, Ki Im Misudas Malava Malka. Oh. That's why Rabbi Cohen was mentioning it at last week's Malava Malka. The Luzbone gets sustained from the Lava Malka. So Rabbi Cohen explained, why is it that the Luzbone gets sustained from the Lava Malka? Because what's the Luzbone all about? The Luzbone is all about taking something dead and giving it life. Tchias HaMesim. Shabbos is supposed to give life into the week. How does Shabbos give life into the week? By eating a Sudas Malava Malka, you're showing that I want the excitement from Shabbos to continue. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch. You have to eat a Sudas Malava Malka. We could have gone through the halachas here. You could look it up in Shulchan Aruch. It's Simin Shin right there. Simin Shin, Hilchos Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch writes that every person on Saturday night has to have a Suda, preferably with bread. You're supposed to have a Suda with bread soon after Shabbos. He says there it's also preferable to have meat and good food, but you should have bread. Many people, including myself, have the custom every Saturday night to make sure we wash. We wash for a Sudas Malava Malka, and that's going to sustain your Luzbone, and your Luzbone is where you're going to have Tchias HaMesim from. So says Rabbeinu Mechaya, why does the Torah have to tell me that the name of the city was Luz? Because that's where the world was created from. That's where Tchias HaMesim is going to come from, the Luzbone. It was called Luz because Luz has this ability to recreate, to regenerate. And every Saturday night, we have the ability to take the excitement and the chios, the life of Shabbos, into the week. The week is sometimes cold and long, and especially in the winter, there's dark nights. So the Luzbone is that which can help the Sudas Malava Malka. Come, Jay, we've got a good seat for you. The Luzbone can help bring the excitement of Shabbos into the week through the Suda Malava Malka, which Chazal say, the Suda Malava Malka is that which sustains the Luzbone. That's why the Torah is saying over here, "Bulam Luz Shema Yer Lewishana," so says Rabbi Mechai. Beautiful. Okay, let's continue. Now the next topic is a topic that I recently spoke about a couple weeks ago. I'm going to try not to have this conversation devolve into dieting again. I'm going to try not to talk about that. We've talked about dieting enough. But this is a very, very important, and it's a topic and a theme that is very, very close to my heart. It's not just Rabbeinu Mechaya talks about this, the Kli Yakar talks about this. And that is the Jews' attitude towards Gashmias. This is something we talk about all the time. The Jews' attitude towards food, the Jews' attitude towards... today's daf also. Correct. Today's daf.
Anti-shmork on
the what?
Not to have the shmork, right? You always say not to change your eating.
Yeah, right. On Shabbos, when you have the challenge, today's daf Yomi said that on Shabbos, you can't learn. The Gemara says that after the challenge, you can't learn. Because anytime you have too much food, you go too crazy, you can't focus. So that's why the Gemara says you shouldn't learn new things on Shabbos. Because you're not going to be able to focus. You could chazer. That's today's daf. You have a lot of review. But you shouldn't learn new things because...
I thought it said children should learn new things.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, but the idea was that because the chalent weighs on you and you can't think straight. That's what the Gemara seemed to say. Anyway. Oh, so here, Yaakov makes a neder. He wakes up, he's all inspired. Vayidah Yaakov neder lemar. Ibn yelo kimi madi. Ushmarani bader achzer shenoch yelech. And here's the key line. V'nasan li lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. This sums up, these four words, Lechem Lechol Beged Lilbosh, this sums up a Jew's attitude towards Gashmias. This is what a Jew's attitude towards Gashmias is supposed to be. This is the ideal it was supposed to live up to. And Rabbi Mechai, it's a very long piece, but he says very, very many beautiful things. I'll try to hit on a few of them. Maybe we'll skip a little bit in the middle. V'nasam li Lechol, Lechem Lechol, he jumps right into it. The Kli Yakar, I remember, has the same part. V'nasam li Lechem Lechol, the Kli Yakar asks, why is it tough to see that? Why is the Kli Yakar asked it like this? Why does it have to say Lechem Lecho Beged Lilbosh? What would you think? It's Lechem Lilbosh and Beged Lecho? Why? I know that Lechem is Lecho and Beged is Lilbosh. Then what do I mean? Why doesn't the director tell me that? It should have just said V'nasamli Lechem Ubegadim. Period. What's Lechem Lecho? That's the way the Kli Yakar asks. But Rabbi Nochai drives it the same thing, but in a different way. Zos She'elas HaTzadikim Me'eis Hashem, he says. This is what Tzadikim want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not the shmorg and the seven-course meal and then the fancy food and so much food and food and food and food and more. Lechem Lecho and Beged Lilbosh. We're supposed to want to try to have enough. Enough that we need. The basic's what we need. We're not supposed to ask for mosaros. We're not supposed to look for too much. For taivas, I need so much food. I need such fancy food. I need this steak and that thing. We're not supposed to ask for that. Zos shares in the name of Hashem. Lo yishalu hamosaros. Rak hadavar hahechrechi bilvad. I only want that what I need. What do I need to live? I don't mean like to starve yourself, chas v'shalom. I'm not talking about that. What do I need to live? What do I need to be healthy, to live and be healthy? Stuff that you can't live without. I remember my ninth grade Rebbe, Rebbe Yitzchak Cohen, telling us, you know what's so great about the year in Israel? You learn you can live without the dipsy doodles. Without the dipsy doodles. I haven't had dipsy doodles in a very long time, but there was a time that I used to have them all the time. But anyway, you learn, he says, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you learn what you can live without. At least at the time. I think by now in Eretz Yisrael they have everything that we have. It's no longer like that. But there was a time, 30, 40, 50 years ago, when in Eretz Yisrael they had very little, and we had plenty over here. So you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'd learn what you can live without. Now already, I think they have everything there. A person who's always looking to have more pleasure, more taivas, it causes you lots and lots of problems. It's a goal of life that when it comes to Gashmias, I don't need 10 different suits, I don't need 10. I was watching an interview, I don't know if you saw it, it went around on the internet the other day, this Yoel Gold interviewed Feuerstein, did you see that? Aaron Feuerstein, the guy who in the Malden Mills, the guy when he had a fire, he supported all the, anyway, so he, instead of like, he could have taken the money from the insurance when the fire burnt down his factory, he had 3,000 workers, he could have taken the money from insurance, he would have made like $500 million or something. Instead, he decided not to do it, and he rebuilt the whole factory, and he didn't. None of his workers missed a paycheck, even though it took a whole year to rebuild. He kept them paying his workers, even though they weren't doing any work. So the guy asked him, like, why'd you do this? You could have had $500 million. He says, and what would I have done with it? $500 million. What would I have done with it? Buy another suit? Gone out to eat another time? Like, the guy already had plenty of money. But anyway, v'shelo yisav al masaros. V'yitav libo b'yiras Hashem. Husham eshlam melchol v'shalom tov ma'at b'yiras Hashem. Me'otza rav u'mehuma bo. It's better to have less and have yiras Hashem, says Shlomo HaMelech, than to have a huge storehouse filled with everything. But you're all fatracht, you're all mehuma, you're all fablunged, you're all messed up. V'hevi l'ze'os v'edus amovis ha'kos she'achov. What's the next pasuk? Tov aruchas yerek. Here we go. Vegetables. Here we go. Tov aruchas yerek. V'ava, it's better to eat vegetables and have love in the house. V'ava sham, and there's love there. Mishor avos v'sinavo. I'm having as much food like an ox, but there's not peace in the house. Yomar, ki yitel l'vnei adam hama'at b'chevra shivtinam lohem. It's better to have less, but have a good chevra that you could enjoy a little bit with. Yosem and amaruba v'hamatam and b'chevras hasonim. V'adnin hazeh hevi l'moshel. Al midas ha'estapkus. Shlomo HaMelech quotes this as a mashal for the mid of histapkus. Histapkus means surviving with not so much. It means that you're happy with a little bit. You're mistapik b'mut. You're happy with the little gashmis that you have. When we many years from Kavach Homer, sheishol adam lehispayus lehistapik b'maat b'avas Hashem yisparach v'yiraso yosem mitosefes amamun agezel v'achamas. Yeah, obviously. The chen Shlomo HaMelech shalom hispal midas ha'estapkus. Hatrifeni lechem chuki, pasuk in Mishlei. Feed me just the lechem chuki. Lechem chuki means enough bread, beer. Ki haresh veha osher midos megunos.
both poverty and wealth are both problematic. They both lead a person to problems. Poverty leads a person to problems, and wealth leads a person to problems. V'yisusalav mitzvatar. If you're poor, you have to like go around begging and trying to convince people to give you money. You're going to end up having too much. You can end up, you know, just being too into taivas and gashmias. It's going to cause you to be arrogant. People have a lot of money. People have a lot of possessions. They get arrogant, which is the worst. Gaiva is the worst problem of all. V'oshir yane azus. Kodesh Baruch Hu hates it's toebed at Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anyone who's arrogant. Shlomo says initially, Rosh v'osher al titen li. Don't make me poor. Rosh means rush. Rush poverty v'osher. Don't give me poverty and don't give me wealth. Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Give me what I need. Give me what I need. Don't give me too much. Don't give me too little. There's so much to say here. If I should. Oh, he says something beautiful. Every piece, every line here is golden. So let's see if we can finish it. Vidak, he lulei she hates love on the rabbi Neuro. If not for the fact that we had a yitzar when we were born, home achar tavas yisron osher covered bolam azeh, and this yitzar is always thinking about osher and covered in this world. Lohay roy lo she yidag b'mash lo kadam and a masaris. You never would be upset about what you don't have. You wouldn't have a Yetzirah since you're born. You never would. It's all the Yetzirah telling you, I need more, I need more, I need a bigger house, I need a fancier car, I need this, I need that, I need better food, I need more food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin to a person exactly what he needs. So Kinnish goes in Parash Haman, Liktu Dvai Yom B'Yomo, Kilo Hayafshel Lohem Latzniah, Min Haman Lizman Yadur, right? When the Monday, they couldn't leave it over till tomorrow. They trust in Hashem. Since they trust in Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them every day. Oh, now look at this last point he makes. This I've never heard before. I've been learning Chumash for a lot of years. I've been giving this parasha shiur for 18 years. I never heard a pshat like this. Maybe I did, but I forgot about it. I don't think I've heard. Listen to what he says here. Who are we reading here? Rabbeinu Bechaya. Yeah, Rabbeinu Bechaya. Look what he says here. Beautiful. Listen, this is beautiful. Look what he says. He says, Ukvar anu roim le'ayin. He says, if you look around what's going on in the world, b'seder olam hanagasa, but the way Hashem created the world, shehi b'chachma amuka v'nifla, the way Hashem created the world is a tremendous chachma. What's he going to say now? He's going to say, the things that I don't need so much of are very scarce in the world. And the more I need the thing, the more prevalent it is in the world. That's what he says. He makes an observation, which I never realized. Maybe all of you already figured this out, but I never realized the observation. That which is more necessary is more available. Watch what he does. Things that are not so necessary, einu matzah kol kach. Diamonds, pearls. These things are not necessary. You could live your life without diamonds. So there's only a few places in the world that you can mine diamonds. They're not like you can't get them a diamond dozen at every street corner. You can live fine without diamonds. So diamonds are not so prevalent in the world. But food, you need a lot more than diamonds. So it's a lot easier to find food than it is to find diamonds, because you need food more than diamonds. You could find food a lot more prevalently than diamonds. He says, water is you need even more than food. Why? Because you could live for a week or a few days without food, but you can't live for a few days without water. So that's why there's more water in the world than food, he says. Rabbeinu Bechayai. V'amayim shemirchoch yosim ha'mazon, sharav yochal nesol l'shanim, shnayim v'gimel yamim. You can go without food 2-3 days. My father-in-law, he should live and be well, went without food for 7 weeks. 3 weeks in a coma, and 4 weeks after the coma, still no food. Only liquids. 7 weeks he lived. Baruch Hashem, he's had a miraculous recovery. Miraculous. One of the reasons I went to Israel was to see him.
Velokein hatsama, but that's not true about liquid. You can't go 2-3 days without liquid. That's why in the world there's more water than there is food, because you need water more than you need food. The ha'avir. What about air? So he has a progression here, right? Food, water, air. Food you need a lot of, but not as much as water. And water you need not as much as air. So air, there's a lot more of in the world. Anyway, meal echad o parsa achas. Okay, without water you can travel a certain amount of time, but without air, you can't exist for a minute without air. So it's much more prevalent. There's no place that there's no air. Even where the wall is. The more necessary a thing is to the world, the more prevalent and available it is. And okay, now we're done. Val Kane Shah Yaakov Atzadik Lechem Lechol Uveged Lilbosh. That's what I want. I don't want a 7-course meal. I don't need fancy clothing. I need Lechem Lechol Uveged Lilbosh. That's what I need. Shiwa Dover Amuchruch. Vishal Midas Aistapkus. Shishel Satzadikim. Right. He asked for enough Histapkus, which is what Tzadikim asked for. He didn't ask for anything extra. Even a king shouldn't have so much. So, you know, this is the kind of piece of Torah that's a lot easier to read than it is to actually live. It's interesting, you know, like I'm saying, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about food, but... like it's really, I have just as big tivus for food as anybody does. But I have like a regimen, like I got myself into a certain diet, a certain routine, a regimen. So it's like, you know, you can train yourself. It's not just in that area, in all areas. It's all a matter of training. It's a matter of getting a person's used to, what are we used to, what do we need, what's really extra, if we really boil it down, what do we need, what's necessity and what's a luxury? To figure out what's a luxury and what's a necessity. So Yaakov Avinu is teaching us in this neder that he makes. That's what a tzaddik is supposed to ask for. Lechem lechol beged lilbosh. That's the healthiest way that a person should be. Not too much, not too little. Interesting, he makes a big point also that poverty is not good either. That's also not good. It's going to make you too dependent on people. You have to be machnef to people. You're going to have to sit there begging people for money. That's not healthy either, he says. That's not healthy either. You should daven that you should have enough. You should have enough.
You said ani kemed. Tell Jacob.
Right. Very good. Very good. Ani is chashav kemes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, parnasa. First doesn't have parnasa. That's very hard. It's very hard without parnasa. Now, the last two pieces. Last two pieces. Actually, three pieces, but one is a little bit repetition. Let's go. We have a few minutes left. Here we go. Now, Chazal already have taken our avos to task for the crass way they speak about marital relations with their wives. It seems like by our standards, the way the avos are talking, it's somewhat of a crass way. Somewhat not batamt, not the way you'd expect a rabbi or a Jewish leader to speak. The Ramban already quotes this. Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan. Yaakov says to Lavan, Hava es ishti. Give me my wife. Kimalu yomai. Because I made the deal. I worked the 7 years. My days are up. Va'avoyla. So I could have relations with her. What kind of a way is that for somebody to talk? What kind of way is that for... Forget a Yaakov Avinu, Bechira Avos. You know, you wouldn't expect even a simple person in the street to talk like that. So the Ramban already met. Because the Ramban, Ein ze derech musar, af ki b'tzadigim. So he answers it, Avo yomar akasav, he means kavachomer tzadigim. Avo yomar akasav, avoy le'a lo shetit, you know, sav, elech l'darki.
He translates it differently. He says, "Va'avoyla" means that with her I will stay here. I will come and stay with you. I'm not going to run away so fast. I'm still going to work another 6 years. That's the way he translates it. Doesn't mean what it seems to say, "Va'avoyla" have relations. But then, so Rabbeinu Bachai, this is Rabbeinu Bachai.
So first he quotes Ramban.
But then he says he has a different pshat. And it's a very, very beautiful pshat. It's similar along the lines that we're going to say, and then we're going to see it's going to connect to the next piece as well. It's going to connect to the Sfarno as well. But let's try to read this. V'yitachin lefarish. I love the way Rabbeinu Bachai says v'yitachin. Like he doesn't say, this is the pshat. Dos is the pshat. No. V'yitachin lefarish. I'm making a suggestion. It's a humble way of suggesting a pshat. Not like I know the pshat. V'yitachin lefarish. We said it already a few times. Ki adibra azel Yaakov. Lohaya mitzad ataiva. No, he didn't mean it in a disgusting way, in a taiva, in a with his desirous way, which is bad musr to say such a thing. Rak mitzad haseichel. He meant it as an intellectual statement. V'yadua shein hefresh etzel haseichel b'nevar yamishkol ashar yivar kigon apanim v'yadayim. Adam Arishan only realized he was naked after he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Basically, in a nutshell, for a tzaddik, says Rabbeinu Bachai, so marital relations is the same as eating and drinking, it's the same as breathing. It's not an act of taiva. It's not an act of desire. It's an act of procreation. Well, we have to populate the world. So they talked about it. They didn't have that kind of a taiva, of a sense of like this romantic or this you know. They didn't have that taiva that we have for these things. Gam ha'imahos racha v'leh asher yimarivos zoim zo ala pula zos hativis. Kol derem ha'yu min ha'min hazeh. When Rachel and Leah were arguing, who gets to sleep with Yaakov tonight? Sounds disgusting. He says, no, that's not what it was about. It was about who's going to get to be Mamed the Shvatim. Kol devarim hayu min amin hazeh ki hayu yodus baruch hakodesh yud beis shvatim asin. It says Yaakov mi'aben Hashem. They knew there was going to be 12 tribes from 4 women. Zeh shavu leil rachel hamat kachtik as ishti vashiv rachel lochein yishkav yimach alayla. Okay, you're right. He'll sleep with you tonight. Eli Tavo, you have to sleep with me tonight. What's the Torah telling all these crazy things? You sleep with them, you sleep with me. Why are they talking about this?
It was because the Dudaim, though, was an agreement. It wasn't really.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like Pashup Shah, just the argument from Balei was good. It was more just an agreement.
Right, but even when you talk about an agreement, how do you speak like this? It's just, you know, so that's his point. And I think you're right. He's saying that it was really all about Hamadas HaShvatim. It was the deal with the Dudaim. It was about Hamadas HaShvatim. Kizachazdi, Lohaisa Kavanasin Redifas HaTaiva Chas V'Shalom. Kiim Kavanas HaMitzvah Bilvad. Kasha Yodu B'Nevuah. Their intentions were for mitzvah. When a person engages in marital relations, and as much as possible, his intention should be for the mitzvah. Intention for the mitzvah. She got rewarded for saying this. Wow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that Yisachar should come out of that union. That was my intention. My intention wasn't just to have relations. My intention was to be Mamed Shvatim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that my intentions were pure. And therefore, he was Mamed Shvatim. On this base natural act,
One of them got punished and the other one got rewarded. Rachel got punished and Leah got rewarded. Now, I want to just take it to the next piece because the Sfarno says something similar. It's on the same pasuk. Elai tavo ki sachor sachartich. Rachel agreed to it. I sold the dudayim, like Dr. Feldhammer said that Rachel agrees, so I'm not robbing you from her. This is the Sfarno, similar vein in the beginning, but then he adds something, which that's why I have it here. That's why Rabbi Lopiansky has it here. It looks like a disgusting story. It's a megali panabatara. Those who would want to accuse the avos of being inappropriate people, so they point to this and say, "Look at these people. Look how disgusting they were." Hodienu amnam shahi inyan atolade etz avos kemoshay inyanu etz adam v'ishto kodem chatam. Marital relations for the avos was like Adam and Chava before the sin. It was like eating and drinking. It was like anything else. It wasn't anything so seductive, so powerful, so filled with desire and all that stuff. They weren't intending for their own pleasure. Chas v'shalom. Oh, and here's the additional point. Oh, and the Torah is teaching us that the kavanah of the imos was desired by Hashem by the fact that they brought their co-wives into their marriages. Right? Why'd they bring the co-wives? They brought the shifchas. Because they wanted to have kids. Vinyan adudoyim. And also the dudoyim, also, that you saw that they were so interested in having kids. Nishma tfilasan alzeh. Because they made the hishtadlus, Hashem listened to the tefillah. Wow. That's powerful. As we tend to think, some people put more kachas into tefillah, some people put more kachas into hishtadlus. But the Sfarno is saying over here, the Torah is teaching us, since the kavana was just to give birth to children, that's why they dealt with the dudayim, and that's why they were so intent on making sure that Yaakov would sleep with Leah, wanted to make sure. Because they did their hishtadlus, therefore Hashem answered the tefillah. Because the best tefillah is a tefillah that comes along with proper hishtadlus. Not just davening for something. You got to do the hishtadlus also. Azeki roi litzadik.
Wow.
Says the Sfarno that the Torah teaches us this episode to show that Hashem listened to Leah's tefillah because she sold the dudayim and she did it the right way and she wanted to have children. So because she made her ishtadlus and made sure that she got her end of the deal and that her husband came to her, intention was good. And therefore, it teaches Vila. Vayishkavam b'laylohu, midaito, perosa zrizus leiv of tov kavanasa bezeh. So once Yaakov saw that Leah's kavana was correct, so he slept with her and they had the kids. Yeah.
You tell Leah's kavana being correct. Well, the hardest part for me to always understand the story is how she spoke to Rachel. Like, hamad kata ishi. It's like, Rachel helped her do that. Rachel gave her the simonim, and it almost seems like very insensitive to say, "Well, why are you in my house?" when Rachel let her in first. To me, that you know, we're talking about how everything here has a pure motive. I don't understand how that comment fits with that narrative, and I never did. So,
So I'm not going to help you if I try to give you that. The only way I could see it, you know, would be, I hear, it's a very good question. The only way I could see it would be that, I'll answer you with a quick vart, which I've said many times, and that is that, the Torah says, first of all, the Torah says, Vayehav gam es Rachel mileah. The Torah says, Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. Pella. The Torah writes that. It's unbelievable. And the next pasuk says, God saw that Leah was hated, so he gave her a child. So I once heard Rabbi Krohn once spoke here in the Beis Medrash. So he asked the question, where does it say? It says that he loves Rachel more. It doesn't say he hated Leah. It says, right? The Torah says Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. And God saw that Leah was hated. Where does it say Leah was hated? It doesn't say it. said Rabbi Cohen, a very, very important yisod in marriage. It doesn't matter what you said. It matters what she heard. It doesn't matter what you... Yaakov never intended to hate Leah, but that's the way Leah felt. Leah felt hated. So it didn't matter that Yaakov didn't hate her. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, considered her hated because she felt hated. The fact that Yaakov loved Leah, loved Rachel more than Leah, to Leah, that was the biggest slap in the face ever. So when he says, Hamad kachtech ishti, I don't think she means on the technical level, because you're right, on the technical level. Looks like they just won, I guess. Somebody just won. Let's hope it was us. I'll be able to teach the guys tomorrow in yeshiva. But that's the only way I can see it. But the kash is a very strong one. Last point. I know I'm over time. Last point. This is just an unbelievably powerful statement from the Rambam about when Yaakov either testifies about himself. Ba'atena yidaten ki b'chol kochi avadeti avicha. B'chol kochi avadeti avicha. Now, again, I know there's all kinds of questions Dr. Feldhammer is going to ask me, but Yaakov switched the, you know, he played games. There were some games being played. There were some games being played over there, but well, let's leave the games out, because the Rambam quotes this pasuk as a model for the way people are supposed to work for a boss. You have a job, you work for somebody, and your job is you're supposed to work from 9 to 5, you get there at 1 minute to 9, and you leave at 5:01. And during the day, you don't make personal phone calls or use the copy machine for your own private stuff or make phone calls. You know, you don't do that. That's what the Rambam says. Yaakov even testifies about himself. But then he says, Yaakov teaches us how when you work for somebody, you got to give 120%. None of this leaving a few minutes early, or cutting corners, or doing that, or using the business car for whatever. Says the Rama, Kiderech shemuzah ba'abayis lo yigzal schar ani, v'lo yakvene kachani muzah shlo yigzal melechis ba'abayis, yivadatam mat mekan mekan. Umotzik al yom b'mirma, elechayv ledaktik al atzmo b'zman, shere yekpidu ha'bracha v'yish b'ksamasin, shelo yorachsa. You're not even allowed to bench the fourth brach of benching if you're working for a living. Because it's only the Rabbanan. You're not allowed to bench Doraisa. You're not allowed to take time away from the boss's work to bench Hatova Meitiv. V'chein, it's Goran Brachas. V'chein chayav lavod b'chol kocho. Shabbat Yaakov atzadik omar. Yaakov probably had other things to do. Ishtam Yosheva Olam. He could have taken off a little bit during lunch and gone to a shir or gone to go down mincha with the minion or something. Shabbat Yaakov atzadik omar ki b'chol kocho v'an zavichem. L'fikach not al schar zos. Af b'olam hazeh. Wow. Chulin concludes by saying, if a person puts all his koiches, we want to lose. Okay. A person puts all his koiches into his boss, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward him, he's going to be wealthy. A person who's honest and gives every moment of his strength to his boss says the, what am I quoting?
The Rambam.
Says the Rambam, Yaakovinu says, why was I blessed with so much money? Because Hashem saw that I worked honestly hard. I put all my kochas in for my boss, and that's why I got it. So, a lot of important lessons from every parasha. Thank you very much for coming. Everyone should have a great Shabbos.
I just want to tell you, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz.